Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Hoosier Huddle podcast. I'm Sammy Jacobs. Along with us is TJ Inman. And we'll be going over the Cream and Crimson game, what happened on Friday night in Bloomington. As Indiana wrapped up their spring practice, we'll also talk about some uniform news, what that means for the program, what it means to us, and how Fred Glass rectified a mistake that he made last year. And then we'll get into some stuff that IU needs to do heading into the summer. We're going to have college football lists in terms of IU up until August, Big Ten Media Days coming in mid-July, so we'll have those then. So we'll touch on all of that, get ready for the long haul over the summer, and we'll get right to it. TJ, welcome back to the show. How are you doing today?
Doing great. Yeah, it's we should record more often. Every time we do, so recently it's been beautiful out, so I don't know if that's a harbinger of things to come, hopefully, every couple weeks, which is the off-season schedule we're going to get on for everybody and cover a lot of stuff all off-season. You know, every couple weeks, you'll get one board to stay at least.
Now that you said that, you probably jinxed it, and in 2 weeks when we cover something else, there'll be a blizzard and 8 feet of snow.
Yeah.
If anybody is wants to complain, you could send your tweets to @TJHoosierHuddle. I will not give him your cell phone number or his email address, but you can tweet at him all you want, and there is snow in 2 weeks on the first week of May. So just wanted to get that out of the way. I did not jinx the weather. It was DJ. But let's
yep.
Get down. You did mention that we're going to start talking about more national things, and just as a programming note, we are going to rebrand here a little bit and give you the quality podcast that you all deserve. So we'll get into that in May. If you have topics you want to discuss, it's the 150th anniversary of college football. If you want to get into that, if there's national topics you want to have discussed, please send in your suggestions to our Twitter @Hoosier_Huddle or email us at thehoosierhuddle@gmail.com. Now that that's out of the way, TJ, let's get into the game wrap up. What were your initial thoughts from the game?
Well, I think Indiana did a nice job of keeping things moving. I thought it was a pretty easy watch. Sometimes the spring games can be kind of tedious, but I thought it was a pretty easy watch. Credit to Indiana for that. It got a nice day for it. I think Big Ten Network, it is what it is. You don't expect much in the way of in-depth analysis from Big Ten Network with Indiana football. So, patience, and I was not disappointed by that. In terms of on the field, we'll get into offense, defense breakdown in a little bit. But just in general, I thought the team defense speed was very evident, particularly at the back. Secondary and linebackers, I thought, just their speed jumps off the screen. And then offensively, impossible to take anything from the running game because, you've got very few of your top-end running backs, really none of your top-end running backs playing. None of the guys you would expect to carry the ball much in this coming season played. And then the offensive line was shuffling things a lot, some veterans. So it's hard to take much of the running game, but the defense really didn't give them anything at all. The one offensive player that I thought was particularly impressive was Donovan Hale. just in the way he moved. He caught everything thrown to him, and he looks like the kind of big physical number two receiver that Indiana fans are hoping for from him. Everything we've heard coming into the spring game was how impressive he'd been, and he backed up a really good performance.
Yeah, Donovan Hale was a player that early in spring stuck out to me. He was moving a lot smoother. That's due to him losing some weight. Grant Hurd and Tom Allen both say he needs to lose 5 more pounds. It limits the pounding on his legs. People have to remember he came in to IU coming off a major knee injury in high school that took him. People say that it only takes a year to recover, but we saw Nick Westbrook last year and some other guys that it really takes to get back to 100%. And so now that Donovan Hill has lost some of that weight, he looks a lot smoother, having on his legs, and he looks like a guy who's primed for a big season, a go-to receiver. He's not going to be the run from downfield and blow by guys threat, but more of the Simi Cobb, throw it up and he'll go get it type of athlete, and really a reliable, big-bodied receiver who you think that in the red zone you could throw him the ball and he could box guys out. So I expect a big season out of him. TJ, I thought that the offensive line is tough to grade. It is going to be a concern. It's still a concern for me. I know it's a concern for a lot of fans, but I thought the offense in spring practice in general really started slow and then finished on that upswing that we talked about in one of the articles this weekend. The last few practices that I got to see, the offense really counterpunched the defense pretty well. But the offensive line, even though we're missing a couple of guys, in the spring game, with Simon Stepniak and Boyd Kronk, those front five I'm pretty confident in to be solid. It's building the depth behind them, where maybe them being out for those final spring practices helps build that depth. But it's still a major concern going into fall camp, is can they get 10 guys who can play on the line just in case somebody goes down. But I'm confident in the front five. There are a couple reserves who I'd be confident putting there as well. And then you have some young guys who need to grow into the position and add, that off-season workout and conditioning. Defensively, I thought the defense, they took the ball away. Every so often they got burned. The long touchdown to Ty Freifogel that came against Reese Taylor. Reese Taylor has not played a whole lot of defense in his career. So that's understandable that he got burnt, but, with those plays, they limited them. There weren't a ton of big plays, and then they got their takeaways. And they ended up losing the game before 48-33 or something like that, but a lot of that is 12 points came off of field goal kicking, those field goal kicking contests where it was kind of uncontested. There was no rush. It was just the snapper, holder, and kicker, and a lot of guys screaming in the background. But that's where 21 of those points came from. So if you take away the field goal contest, the defense scored more points. But so the offense won. But I thought the defense acquitted themselves nicely. They do need to beef up that defensive line in the middle. We saw a little bit of the speed that they could have on the outside at defensive end, speed in the secondary, and at linebacker, which I think has been impressive this spring that everybody's talked about. And if they could get some of these big freshmen in and on campus and ready to play, they should have a pretty solid defense.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Juan Harris, that's a big boy. That is a big, big man. I will say, for as big as he is, I thought he moved really well on Friday, and when I was having an impact, when they were having to double-team him a couple of times, that I noticed, and I'm sure it happened more. I did not have my eyes fixed on Juan Harris. But when I noticed him, he was getting quite a bit of attention from the offensive line, and him taking up that space allows those linebackers and those pass rushers to go make plays. That's what he's there for. He's a space eater, get that interior penetration. And I thought it was an encouraging first sign from him. I know the coaching staff is definitely hoping he can have a huge impact. They'll need him to. He's going to be a guy they're going to have to rely on. So that was good to see. Along the offensive line, the only player that I really – there were two guys that I singled out and watched. One is Caleb Jones at right tackle because I'm – he's another really big guy and another player that's going to have a big impact on this season, either in a positive or negative way. I mean, if Caleb Jones is capable of being a good right – and I was encouraged by how he moved on Friday night if he's capable of being a fixture at right tackle, I think it really makes Indiana's starting five on offense on the line really good. If he's a question mark for you where you're not sure what you're going to get from him on a week-to-week basis, that creates a bit of a headache because I don't think there's anyone out there right now that I'd feel good slotting in there besides him. And the other player I looked at on that line was freshman Matthew Bedford. I'm not an offensive line expert, but to me, he looked the part. I thought Bedford looked like he belonged on that field from a physical standpoint, from a size standpoint, and just from a movement standpoint, I thought he looked like he belonged out there, and the coaches and his fellow offensive linemen have all talked very well, and Michael Kadick. So I think Indiana's in good shape there with Matthew Bedford. I think he'll be a really good player for Indiana. Perhaps not this year. I mean, you hope you don't have to rely on him and he can just play four games in spot duty, get a little bit of experience and redshirt. That's what you're hoping. And then rely on him for the future, maybe as early as next season. But I was impressed by those two guys. And then, the other player on offense that I do want to mention, I feel like we're somewhat obligated to talk about this, Peyton Ramsey, the only quarterback that took any snaps or threw anything with, Michael Penix. We saw him at skeleton drills in between a couple of the quarters, so it was good to see him out there throwing the ball. I thought Penix, the first skeleton drill, that he was shaky, which is understandable. The second one, I thought he settled in and threw some really nice passes, including a touchdown pass across the middle that he placed perfectly and really showed off the arm strength. So that was good to see. Ramsey, to me, it looked like a lot of the same from last year. Some positives, some negatives, and the one glaring one being the arm strength. Just those out passes, they just don't get to the receiver quick enough. Down the field, he exhibited nice touch on one pass, which was a seam route over the middle, up the middle, if you will, to Ty Freifogel, which I was encouraged to see just because we saw that so rarely last season from Mike DeBoard's offense. We didn't see very much deep, and when we did see it, it was always those passes along the sidelines. I was encouraged to see a seam route for Ty Freifogel. He beat Reese Taylor it was a good pass. It was a good pass from Ramsey. I think it was about 38 yards. Very well placed. However, he had several others that he took deep shots on that, to be frank, were not anywhere near the receiver. Up and down from Ramsey. I didn't see anything on Friday that makes me, feel as if he's taken some giant leap forward in terms of his arm strength. And that has been the concern the entire time and the entire offseason. It will continue to be. And if game one, I think the biggest reason is going to be that arm strength and that Michael Penix or Jack Tuttle show enough to the coaches that they can be a bigger difference maker for the Hoosiers than Ramsey can. Besides that on offense, I didn't see a whole lot. I mean, Miles Marshall dropped a couple of passes. But I did see him in the slot show me some things that I'm excited about. Again, Westbrook, Wap Fillier, they didn't play, so the offense missing quite a bit of its explosiveness. But for what we saw, those were the guys that kind of jumped out to me. On defense, James Miller, just, I continue to be very excited about him. But every time I watch him move around, he's a guy that I continue to think can be a really, really good player for him. And then I would say the same about Cam Jones as well. And they moved him around some. He played three different spots that I noticed on Friday night. He's going to be a versatile piece for the defense. I thought the secondary really showed why they can be so good with their coverage skills. They did have a couple of blown assignments that resulted in some open passes, but overall, I think a good night for the secondary that showed what they're capable of doing and showed some of that versatility that I think we're all excited to see how Cain Womack displays that. And then I will just throw a special mention. You mentioned field goal kicking. Logan Justice, I think it was good to see him get out there and make some kicks. And if anyone had in their mind for some reason that perhaps last year was a fluke from him, I don't know why you would. It was an entire season of really solid field goal kicking from him. But he had a really good night on Friday as well. So that was, you know, good to see.
Yeah, to go back to the quarterbacks a little bit, it was, you know, more the same for Peyton, like you said.
Right.
He did make some really nice throws. He can create with his legs, but
yeah,
you're still limited in that offense, especially with that out route. And when you go, the biggest thing to me with that out route is when you go 2 minutes or a 2 minute drill, you need that 15-yard out route that'll get you the first down and get you out of bounds to stop the clock. He just can't make that play. I thought Penix, like you said, he looked a little rusty. It was a nice day in Bloomington, but it was a little chilly. What if you're just staying on the sideline, not playing, and sitting for a quarter? Looked like a quarterback who had sat for a quarter. And that's in that first drill, and that's what it looked like. But, you know, the fumbles are a little bit of a concern on offense. It's good to see the defense. Now, it's great that the offense and the defense both made big plays. That was really encouraging. One side didn't dominate the entire game, which I think it would be a fear if defense came out and just dominated the offense. I think this fan base would be in panic. And I think it would, you know, much less so a panic if the offense came out and dominated the defense. It would be more of a shock, but it wouldn't be as panicked. You'd be excited for the offense. But I thought that the game was fantastic. It was, I think, under 2 hours, if I'm not mistaken. It went really quickly, a lot of big plays. I love having this game as part of the little 500 weekend. It's something that, you know, people need to have some patience on. There really isn't a good week for the IU spring game. If you do it a week before, you're playing Russian roulette with the weather. You're still playing Russian roulette with the weather this week as well. Next week is Easter. I think it somewhere into that little 500 weekend where you're patient with it. The team's got to win some games in the season. Get to those, you know, get to a couple winning seasons and fans will come in. But you got to make an event too, and encompassing it with little 500, which is, let's face it, the biggest weekend on campus all year. You have a chance to make it part of that big weekend where, you know, maybe you move the women's race up an hour, you move the spring game back half an hour so people could get one place to another. But it should be part of the fabric of that weekend, and it would be really cool, like the A-Day they have in Alabama and Auburn, is have that weekend. It's a little 500 weekend that includes the football spring game, and I think another, well, I'll bark up this tree until it happens, if you serve alcohol at games and then during the spring game, people will come, especially during Little Five weekend. But in general, I do like it having I do like having it on this weekend. I believe Little 500 was pushed up a week because of Easter. And so if you keep it at the regular Little 5 week, you push it a week later back in the spring, you're kind of safer with the weather and getting warm weather. So overall, I thought the spring game was fantastic. I thought BTN did a good job with it. They interviewed coaches and players. They had it live on BTN, which I don't remember the last time the IU spring game was not just on BTN to go. So good work on them. I think good work on IU's part. And it's a spring game. Now you have to add to it and maybe find some other festive things to do to get people in there. But having a Little 500 weekend, that's the first step. Now you can tweak some things and go from there. So, TJ, that puts a bow on the Cream and Crimson game. What one thing that you think IU needs to have fixed or needs to work on as they head into the summer in order for the season to be successful?
The biggest thing that I would, and I'm not going to say, oh, we didn't see this in the spring game, so it's just not there. The players that I would expect to provide these types of plays, they didn't play on Friday night, and it's not an avenue where you're looking for that necessarily. So I'm not panicking about this, but I would love for Indiana to spend a lot of time focusing on finding explosive plays. And that can come from a lot of sources. We talked about it last season. We talked about it so far this offseason on our podcast. I think it's crucial for Indiana to find explosive plays through scheme, through personnel. There's a lot of ways to do it, but that's kind of the one thing that stands out in my mind as being something Indiana needs to find a way to get as they head into the 2019 season.
I think outside of health, getting guys back and getting guys healthy, which will happen in time, just having the mental fortitude to be able to get through the season. Time and time again, we've seen IU race out to hot starts, go 3-1 or 4-0 or, whatever it is, and stumble through the Big Ten season and come up short in some of these big games and not be able to respond to adversity. That's my thing. It's work on mental toughness. Whatever you have to do to work on that mental fortitude to where, it's a game like Minnesota doesn't happen. A game like Maryland a couple years ago doesn't happen. Where a game like Rutgers in 2015 doesn't happen. Where you could get punched in the mouth, get back up, and keep moving forward. And come out of the victory. So whatever off-season work they do with strength coaches in the preseason, with coaches, whether or not they bring in, Marines and do military workouts, can you face adversity? And the Tom Allen's theme this year is grit, and that's something that they're going to need to work on. It is. When the chips are all down on the table and you're kind of facing the adversity, can you keep your energy level up, bear down, and make a big play, make that big interception, make that big stop, catch that ball in the end zone, hang on, get that first down to kill the clock, things like that. And that all starts in the off season and it starts the veteran guy. So that's my big thing for them to work on outside of health in the off season. TJ, some other news that came out today: Indiana will be returning to having name on the back of their jerseys. I know the decision not to pissed a lot of people off, for various reasons, whether or not fans could identify players on the field without using a roster. You know, Fred Glass said, I believe said today, that he listened to fans the distance from the field. Look, I could barely see the numbers from the press box without, you know, without glasses. So that's not a big issue to me unless I'm watching on TV or,
right.
You know, I'm in the first 10 rows. To me, it made it I thought last year's uniform, if it had a name on the back, looked awesome. It had the candy striped sleeves. It had a little detailing. But without the nameplate, it looked cheap. It looked like something you not as TJ Maxx as Michigan State's new uniforms, but something you pull off the discount rack at TJ Maxx, or whatever's a step above at Target.
Those Michigan State alternate uniforms.
They're awful.
I'm sure somebody likes them. I'm sure somebody likes them, but those are, you know, you say, oh, they're just not for me. Well, I don't know who those are for. Those are bad.
They're for the discount rack at TJ Maxx.
I guess.
If you haven't seen it, Google it, guys. It is hideous. It's got neon green State across the chest. But we're not here to discuss Michigan State and their terrible wardrobe choices. We're talking about IU. I think putting the name on the back, it means a lot to players, especially players who might be first-generation college students. To represent their family name is a big deal. And I think it's great that Fred Glass reversed his decision. He deserves a lot of credit for swallowing his pride at doing that. The uniform should look a lot better. And it gives – and football, it's not like basketball. Football, the guys, the helmets on, they're hard to see. You know, you just know it by the number. Now, basketball, you can see their faces. You get – you know, it's a little bit more personal than football. Now that you have names on the back of the jerseys, fans can recognize them easier. And I think that's a big deal, especially for a sport and a program that needs – fan interest, and whatever can make the fan more interested and easily interested in IU football, you got to do. So I think this is a step in the right direction, and maybe we'll see a new uniform here, you know, an alternate sometime in the future. I don't know, but I think that uniform last year with the little details the matte finish helmet with the nameplate is going to look really, really good.
I don't see any negatives to it. I think it was a decision that I understood the basic premise behind it, but I thought it was a poor decision that just lacked foresight to understand how people were going to take that. The result was perfectly expected, and that's what we saw, basically criticism across the board. And Indiana, as you said, they deserve a lot of credit for recognizing, hey, this doesn't work, it's not making any sense, let's just do the common sense logical thing and just reverse course, put the names back on, and there we go. And I think that's, you know, a non-bullheaded way of going about it, and it is appreciated.
Yep, and I like the sentiment of the name on the front of the jersey means more than the name on the back, and that old school mentality. I get it, kind of like it, but that name on the back also means a lot to these players and a lot to the family sitting in the stands. I've had their parents, you know, comment on the article on Facebook or Twitter and say, we're so happy that our name could be represented on the field at IU, and it's just it's a moment of pride for mothers and fathers and grandparents and uncles and aunts to see their kid who's worked so hard run out of the tunnel and see their name on the back jersey. Now, to the average fan, that might not mean that much, but if you have a child who plays sports and represents you going out on the field of competition, you feel that sense of pride, and I understand that. And you're right, it is a common sense move, and hopefully more common sense moves are coming up in the future. All right, TJ, that does it for the Hoosier Huddle podcast this evening. Hopefully it is not snow in 2 weeks. If it is, blow up TJ's Twitter, not mine. Because it's all on him. Anyway, if you have topics you want us to discuss, national topics, Big Ten topics, Indiana topics, we're all for that. We'll be coming at you either bi-monthly, bi-weekly, I think monthly, twice a month, up until the beginning of the season, then we're back weekly with you guys. We're, I think, 113 days away from kickoff up at Lucas Oil Stadium, so hang in there. Summer's almost here, and we'll enjoy the warm weather and get into fall. Thanks for joining us, TJ.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks, everybody, for listening. And we will, you know, we'll come up with a lot of good stuff for the off season in addition to the, you know, regular preview, you know, preview some big national teams, IU opponents, you know, the rest of the Big Ten, the Big Ten East, the college football playoff stuff. We'll hit all those, but, you know, the big picture topics as well, or anything you guys want to hear us talk about. You know, I'd like to think that we kind of a little bit at least know what we're talking about outside of this Indiana football, so we'll do our best to cover whatever the listeners want.
Yeah. Well, thank you for listening. Check back to HoosierHuddle.com for all your Indiana football news and notes. Follow us on Twitter at Hoosier_Huddle, the latest, and enjoy the rest of your week. Hopefully the warm weather stays, and we'll be back with you in a couple weeks to talk more college football.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret, like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search. Match. With Indeed. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.